Hello, welcome to the big show from the British Tech Network. That's us. I've got to get used to saying that. I'm really, the bagel is on the tip of my tongue every time I start off, but I've been practicing, don't worry. We're here to discuss the huge week that's been in tech, hence the big bit of it all. It's everything. It's everything else. It's everything that nothing else covers. So here we are. I'm joined by the usual bunch, a fantastic panel. Top left, Mr. James Hart, our man at the Beeb.
Hello.
How's life, dude?
Well, it was really crap last Wednesday when we lost our internet connection, so we couldn't go onto Facebook and YouTube like we did, which is how basically the BBC gets its stories.
Oh, the BBC lost all of its internet connection and couldn't get any stories.
It lost its outgoing internet connections because the Iranians or some nasty bunch of people decided to block it. And there was a denial of service, and I believe Mark Thompson mentioned it in his little talk this afternoon. And yes, it was rather traumatic for all of us because we couldn't even send and receive internet email.
The only thing that really bothers me about that statement is the bit that says that the BBC relies on its internet through Iran or no?
Well, no, it's not that it relies on it through Iran. Any distributed denial of service attack comes from everywhere. Basically, they send out pieces of software that payloads to attack one single target. The BBC's got some amazing... I mean, when you're one of the top 10 websites in the world, you have to put some pretty meaty defences in to prevent this kind of thing from happening. But of course, you're always kind of on the run from the people who are one step ahead. They know what technology's out there and they're trying to circumvent it. So,
busy week for you then.
A busy week in to the extent that we had to work around it. But yes, let's hope it doesn't happen again all too soon.
Next to James, the man who's not done much tech this week, by his own admission, Alex G. Fox.
Hello.
How's things?
How are you? Yes, all right. I haven't done much tech. I haven't done much of anything. It's been a really good week.
You not been busy?
I was busy, and then I did that, and now I'm not.
It's good when you have a half-busy week that's good enough to be a whole busy week.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I'm not going to be destitute this week.
We like those.
Quite a nice rest.
Good lad. Well done.
Thank you.
Beneath him, knackered Sarah, who's still not recovered from her night with Apple users. She thought we were all boring sycophants who worship Steve Jobs, but no, we're actually a bunch of pissheads who get drunk.
Yeah, I kind of realise that now.
Yeah, see?
But you know, I actually tweeted Mr. Neighbour after the event and said, I might actually think about joining you lot.
Why? Why? You've never, well, you don't, you know, use Mac. You're only using an iPad under suffrage.
Yeah, I know. But you, as you said, for the aforementioned reasons, I thought I might actually join you.
You want to get pissed with us. You don't need to join for that. We can sign you in each week. Never mind. You've got to say, though, Mrs., it's bad if it takes you till Wednesday to recover or Thursday.
Yeah, well, that's a sign of getting old or unfit, one or the other.
Both. And that last...
was a slow night, that was.
The man who's not unfit, he goes running, he wears headphones that break when he runs. He runs that hard.
Rest of us put to get well.
You're fitter than... Yeah, he's easily fitter than the rest of us. I'm the body weight of all of you put together, and he's the fitness of us all put together. Eric Lanigan.
Hello.
How's the week been?
It's been a week. It's been about 7 days since we last talked, and within that time, numerous things have happened.
Seven days and 1 hour.
About
yeah,
a week,
exactly. And 1 hour because I'm coming to you from the future.
Yeah, no.
I'm coming to you 1 hour ahead of
where you were, but it's still a future. So the security services haven't found you then?
No, they have not.
No, good. Glad to hear it, mate. Keep trucking. The week in technology, we've had a fantastic week. The Business Software Alliance has complained about heavy-handed tactics that could drive the small business out of business completely. There's too many businesses in that whole thing, by far.
It's a terrible business.
It's a business. Ofcom has cleared the 4G network to go ahead for Orange, which is everyone's all excited about, but there's a bit of a caveat. Just hold on, and we'll tell you that one in a second. Encyclopedia Britannica has gone out of print entirely. You can't get the tomes anymore. You can only get the pages on the internet, and the pages on the internet are going to cost you exactly the same amount. Don't get that. And Homeless Hotspots has come in for a bit of a hacking in Austin. But apparently, I didn't realise this, so I started researching the story for the news show this week. Homeless hotspots are everywhere. They're all over the place. They're big in Australia as well, apparently. And there's a ton of other stuff. Yeah, they're big in Australia. They're all over the place.
Oh, right.
So they're not unique to South by Southwest.
No, not at all.
Are they at it's least not unique an to that particular
original
company
idea,
that
you see?
That phrase has been used in a lot of places. If you do homeless hotspot and you Google it, you'll find the homeless hotspots for Australia, New Zealand, and a fair few other countries around the world. So,
okay.
I don't think they're a charity or act like that. I just think, but anyway, this was a PR stunt by a firm that has apparently gone badly wrong. So, big issue.
Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Big issue is just a magazine that gets sold in the UK by homeless people. That's all. It's a UK joke specifically. So do spout, Eric. Away you go.
Okay. My take on this, and first tell me, guys, if you think that there actually is a benefit to having homeless people do this, as opposed to, I guess, if you wanted to help the homeless by doing some kind of proceeds of your Wi-Fi hotspot goes to them, that's fine. But there seems to be an inhuman element or a cynical element by making these people into mechanical installations. It sort of seems like they'll always be there. Like the homeless are always there, so we may as well give them a MiFi. We may as well make them a hotspot. Whereas you think of an installation being something that is permanent, and I think that almost is a kind of a cynical view to say that the homeless people are permanently on the street.
Yeah, but the beauty of them is that they move around, isn't it?
But then what good does that do for your hotspot? Wouldn't you want your hotspot to stay in one place?
Well, if they keep moving around the homeless area, you get Wi-Fi coverage over a great area. The problem you got is if some bugger comes along and opens a soup kitchen, then you're going to get great coverage right there, right the way around it. But I mean, like within 100-yard radius.
Soup kitchens are going to become the new Starbucks, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. And you get 4G. I mean, these guys are running around with 4G dongles.
All the hipsters hanging around their soup kitchens getting the best bandwidth.
How much liquor do you think you can buy for a 4G dongle?
Well, this is what you do, isn't it? You run a business and you say, okay, I sell alcohol or I sell fried chicken. And you say, okay, for every homeless person that wants to hang around here, you can have one bottle of whiskey a week and 7 buckets of fried chicken. And then you also get hotspot coverage for your chicken and whiskey shop. So you could use it, couldn't you? I mean...
Is that actually a chain in the US, Eric?
Whiskey and
chicken and whiskey.
Hey, guys, a new idea, Alex.
Well, you know, there is chicken and waffles. I've never been privileged with that combination, though.
Colonel Flanders.
Didn't that happen in Belgium?
Chicken and whiskey, we've got a title already.
I mean, at first glance, it does sound quite an appalling idea, but, I mean... If you run it in the same way as the big issue, which is a company purely set up to write a magazine, distribute it to homeless people, and they take, I don't know if they take the full proceeds, I'm not sure how it works, but they take the proceeds.
I would imagine it would be a cut.
Yeah. So if you set up, I mean, it would be a nice thing for a charity to set up and say, okay, we've done a deal with X wireless mobile company, and you know, you can have this, and your area will be that, and you will get this for doing so. You know, as a service, everyone wins. Someone gets a hotspot. Obviously, the main point is the homeless person gets something to eat and drink and some money, and the charity gets to organize things and make themselves feel good. What the problem is when this looks like it's a publicity stunt, and that's when it sticks in people's throats.
Well, yeah. The other thing is, of course, these guys do have the choice to say no. It's not as if the wireless hotspots are being glued to them or they're not being forced to do it. I think that the piece was saying that that the people are being made to do this or asked to do this. No, they're being paid to do it. They are. An offer is being made to trade for a product. It's like giving unemployed people the opportunity to work for Tesco. No, that doesn't work. But you know what I mean? It's kind of like it is entrepreneurship. It's literally I expect it could possibly have done with better PR and been dealt with a little bit more smoothly. But there's always going to be people who bite back. And if it's worked quietly in Australia for goodness knows how long, that doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
Yeah, but they still throw dwarves in Australia for. Oh, so they don't exactly.
It's not the most political nation in the world, no.
Exactly.
No, that's true.
Oh, hi, Jane. She's awake. Sorry. Shouldn't have said that.
Well, can there be any doubt that the reason that these guys are doing this, that the reason that they're outfitting homeless people with hotspots is because to provide a service of hotspots that required permission and installation costs in an urban area would cost them a lot more money? Is there any motivation besides that?
Well, in this country, it would make sense because of there's all sort of really, really stringent planning regulations with anything at all to do with business. Even the guys that walk around with, they're not sandwich boards anymore. They're advertisements on poles. Where James works in London, they're everywhere. But they're not allowed to even lean on a railing because they then are using the fixed position to prop themselves up. That's why they have to walk around with a board. That's why these boards aren't allowed to be tied to anything. So it's a way of circumventing.
They're not even allowed to use the boards anymore. They now clothe them with day glow clothes with the actual product written on it because the boards are thought to be looking untidy.
Yeah. So, I mean, in this country, it would be a way of circumventing the planning permission needed to put in a permanent hotspot.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your rules and regulations are, but if they're anything like mine, it might be the only option.
Were these guys moving around, though, or were they told, you know, right, here's a Wi-Fi spot, just stand there until you feel warm and then move around a bit because it's obviously cooking you.
Keep it in the same part of your body.
Yeah, make sure you move it around pocket to pocket.
To wander off when you were halfway through your email, which you'd have to chase him down the road so you didn't get within 15 feet away from him or something.
Well, that's the great news about it because they don't move fast, homeless people.
Ah, is that why they've used them?
Yeah.
Well, you may be able to network them together in some way.
What I love is we're sitting standing on judgment in this place and all we've done is take the piss out of them and homeless people and we're no better off.
It's got a great number of practical applications and I think there's a lot of it's a real shame that people are, it's the hipster thing, isn't it? People are looking down on it because they just want something to slag off.
But I mean, okay. Even let's say it's a great altruistic gesture and and they've got these guys to do this, and they're getting a big proportion of the amount they get. It's $2 for 15 minutes.
How is it billed?
$8 an hour. It's for PayPal, isn't it?
Give it to them.
I don't know. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find. I don't know why no one explained it, but I couldn't find any articles explaining how it was going on in South by Southwest.
Instead, via a PayPal link, so that they can track the finances. That's it. It's all done by PayPal. And PayPal are going to take a cut out of this as well as probably just because they don't even know what's going on. It's just an account as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, PayPal will profit.
PayPal always just takes a cut.
If it was organized properly and it was actually organized for, if you're going to use homeless people, then they've got to benefit for the fact that they're homeless. Otherwise, it's a job. And if it's a job, then it shouldn't be open to homeless people. It should be open to everyone. So if you're going to do it that way, it needs to be organized in the same sort of way as the big issue. So if you see a guy out there and he's got a number that you're going to PayPal to, if you've feeling guilty or you've had a good day or, you know, you'd normally put money in a bucket or you'd give them money for the big issue and not take the magazine, which is what most people do, including me, you should be able to give that guy a PayPal £2 because you think, good on you, fella or lady, for standing around wanting to get out of your position. There's a lot of side issues that if they added to it, that there's a way of donating is a terrible word, but there's a way of helping the guy or the girl with your £2 and not taking your 15 minutes so they get the full £2 or something, then there'll be a nice way around this. But until they actually think about it as a charitable thing, you know, jokes aside, then people are always going to be skeptical. But I think it's a good idea if it can be used properly because everyone benefits.
There is an interesting aspect to this. How is actually anybody going to pay for it on PayPal if they haven't got an internet connection that they need the Wi-Fi for in the first place?
Well, there'll be a sign-in screen, I presume.
They must have a way.
I suppose like they do in hotels.
They kind of carry around a credit card machine.
I mean, there's a point in the chat room here from 10X saying, if it was purely PR, surely they'd have used scantily clad women. There's a point in that, but they got a real good kicking at CES, didn't they? So I think that might be disappearing a little bit out of the tech world. The rest of the chat room's just talking about chicken.
And bacon.
Yeah, I started the bacon, unfortunately. Missy came in and said chicken, and I said, what about chicken and bacon? She said, you had me a chicken, so there you go. It's it. Good idea, bad idea?
It could be very good.
Yeah, I think my view is, I think if it was run along the same sort of lines as the way Big Issue is, as Alex said, I think it would actually be quite good.
Okay. Well, it says it's a charitable innovation initiative. So if, although it's being run by an advertising agency, which is already, it already sort of, the little sort of popularity worm has dipped beneath the average level for that.
The popularity worm?
You know, like that when, well-known... during the election debates last year, there was a little thing that went up and down the screen when people, remember those?
I don't know, but the popularity worm sounds fantastic.
Anyway, the popularity worm.
I'm going to swear and bury the popularity worm.
Anyway, it is a charitable venture, and it's apparently to modernise the street newspaper model employed to support homeless populations. So it's just they are trying to use the same kind of framework, and apparently they keep all the money they make.
Dude, if this was a purely charitable venture, you, me, and these three guys wouldn't be talking about it.
And they should be using the cockroach of destiny.
Chicken and bacon would not be the topic
the worm
of conversation.
Of popularity.
The cockroach of popularity. No, it's a cockroach of ignominy.
There you go.
The worm of popularity and the cockroach of ignominy. There we go. Definitely. Ofcom in the UK has cleared Orange to have a go with T-Mobile and do the everything everywhere all the time super thing. On 4G, which is a bit of a revelation because we were all scoffing last week when the iPad was launched that 4G is not here in the UK. They haven't even finished selling off the spectrum yet. The ink's not wet on the contract. So the fact they've gone for this is pretty impressive. But are we excited about getting 4G? Eric, you've had 4G for a while. Is it all it's cracked up to be? Is it nice? Is it worth it? Is it?
No, it's not at all. In fact, in this country, it's largely been used as an excuse to for Verizon and AT&T to soak up more airwaves, to soak up more permanent spectrum holdings. And they bought it's between 70 and 90% of all that's gone on sale, up for auction in the last few years. It's gone to those two companies. And the reason I say that is LTE was supposed to be purely VoIP. There's not supposed to be a CDMA co-channel or a GSM co-channel for voice. That's why you see a lot of those droids have two radios in them, one for the old, one for the new. So right now they're using LTE to put a little bit of data across, but they actually had to, I think the ITU, which I think is run by the United Nations or something. So I guess that applied for you guys too. I don't think that was just in this country. Redefined 4G to mean, I think, as low as 5 megabits a second, whereas before it meant 25. So really all they've done, and that's why now T-Mobile, who still runs GSM networks and HSDPA+, says they're 4G, even though it's not LTE. And so now everything is 4G. AT&T is now claiming there's a software update for your AT&T. If you have an iPhone 4S and you get the latest iPhone software update, if you're in an area where AT&T just has their marginally faster normal 3G networks, your little badge will now say 4G. So it's really become not at all meaningless. And it won't be for you guys either unless you really get those super fast benefits much faster than we have here.
Well, we've kind of got a segregation that's fairly accepted, I think, that HSPA is 7.2-ish. HSPA is up to 21. And then beyond that, you're talking 4G is... Mm-hmm. Up to who
it's
knows
HSDPA
where.
Plus. We haven't got a CDMA network. It's just literally one flavor of high speed data here at 1.5 kind of thing. Yeah. But the whole point about this the thing that I can't really get my head around with this 4G thing is I don't believe the data caps are going to be any higher, and all you're going to do is run out of data quicker.
Right, and that again is why Verizon is pushing that. They've now been pushing 4G. I read a very good article, I think from GigaOm the other day, saying how for all Verizon going back into the into Congress and lobbying those guys, saying we're out of spectrum, we've got no space left, we can't afford any new customers unless you give us more. And you go on their website, and they've now had a new division that they've opened for selling 4G MiFi to your home, actually a home installation like on the front of your house for wireless 4G LTE internet instead of your DSL. So they can't 1 minute say we're out of bandwidth for mobile users and the next minute say, come on, home users, jump on our network. And they're going to, but they're paying mobile prices. They're paying 5 gigabyte caps for $50 for basically $10 a gigabyte.
I mean, one of the things that we've got a significant problem with here is compatibility as well, because with the 4G, you've got a wider range on the spectrum. And a lot of people this week have been ranting about the 4G and saying how great it is and that kind of stuff. And Chris Forsman made a passing reference to this on the Mac show last week. And we've had a comment made in one of the blog posts about it, that the European standard that's been issued for LTE is non-compatible with the wireless system that's contained in the iPad 3. So, apart from the fact that we've got this fantastic new iPad coming that's got a 4G wireless system in it, there's a possibility that even HSPA Plus won't be used. It'll be just standard HSPA up to 7.2, or even worse, maybe 3G, depending on your provider. I mean, the statement that was made in the thing is that the European LTE network uses the frequencies of 1800 and 2600 megahertz. Unfortunately, iPad only uses 700 and 2100 megahertz, which is the standard US frequency. So therefore, the iPad will not work, and under the current hardware, will never work across the whole of Europe. It's stuffed. It's absolutely done. Comment in the chat room from Gordy saying that hoping that Apple applies a little pressure to the networks. The networks aren't the problem in the UK. That is the spectrum. That is all that is available across the whole of the European market. Therefore, the pressure is has to be on Apple to change the hardware.
Does it apply to the iPhones as well, Ewan?
Yeah. I mean, that's the spectrum that they are. I don't know what the iPad has any different. I think the iPhone has probably got the same wireless.
Because my iPhone's got voice channel on it, hasn't it? It's going to be a different chipset, I imagine, than the iPad, which is supposed to be data only. And of course, if it's got the wrong one in, I can't believe they fitted the wrong one.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, the standard US frequency is 700 and 2100 megahertz. And that's all the iPad 3 is equipped with. There is nothing else, and we don't use either of those frequencies in the European Union.
And everybody's calling it the iPad 3 now, are they?
Well, no, it's the iPad.
The new iPad.
iPad 3. I think everyone is, because they're going to come out with a different adjective to describe it.
Well, I think what Apple are trying to do is go back to, like, they had the iPod, and it was an iconic design, and that was it, but you called it the iPod.
No, they just called it iPod. It didn't have the E.
You said the Gen 3 iPad or something like that.
You had to bend over backwards to say it's the, what kind of MacBook Pro do you have? I have the 15-inch early 2009, late 2008, SSD. That's what you get when you don't have a simple 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. I think people like they had, what?
This is called the iPad, not 4G.
Yeah, I think it's silly to think that people actually have a different perception and think that the new iPad and the old iPad are the same because you just call it the iPad. People always know that you come out with a new one every year, so they'll come out with a different, they'll talk about the iPad 2011 or the iPad 2012. Mm-hmm. People always come up with words to describe the things that they want to talk, to describe the noun. People always come up with adjectives to describe the nouns they want to talk about. So it's up to Apple to decide if they want that to be a string of 15 different words or the number 3.
I gotta say, I thought the best solution last week was from Pete Emery in the chat room, who decided that he was going to call his iPad 3 Mavis. It was iPad Mavis.
iPad Mavis.
And I'm with that. I'm from now on, as far as I'm concerned, we're talking about iPad Mavis.
Why?
Why not?
Was it just a random name you picked, or was there a meaning?
You'll have to ask Pete about that, to be honest. Mavis may be an old flame that he can't mention in front of his wife, so he's called his iPad that.
I'd assume you'd ask the question.
No, I mean, I know Andy Inatka used to call all his MacBooks Lilith, so it's anyway, Mavis has stuck. And I think Jane in Australia has called her Cyril.
Cyril and Mavis.
Yeah.
Anyway,
where were we?
Whatever happened to what?
WiMAX. Because WiMAX. LTE and WiMAX were sort of, they were the VHS and Betamax equivalent, weren't they? They were going at each other. And my understanding was WiMAX was meant to be a lot faster, a lot broader spectrum. It could travel a lot further distances. It's just the, you know, it never got out quickly enough. I mean, I also query the need to download anything on a mobile device, the device at 21 megapixel, or megapixels, here we go, megabits a second. I mean, sure. Other than a iPad new 3, whatever you want to call it, with a Retina display, a HD movie, you could probably do that at 5 megapixels, even if you were streaming it. So I really do question the actual need to go crazy. The whole idea originally was going to give you a more stable download at a further distance away from the base station.
But, well, I think one of the reasons why Macs never took off was because it was the cell sizes were smaller, and I don't think that they could get the, it was basically a brand new infrastructure, and nobody was interested. 4G uses the existing infrastructure because it is the standard mobile phone providers. They've already got the masts up. All they need to do is put another antenna on. As far as the speeds go, it's all about burst. It's all about getting that item, getting that YouTube video to start sooner. The speed is all about how quickly you can get stuff going. And if you're close enough to the, you know, if you've got a 4G connection, you will be able to, I mean, even on 3G, it takes a little while to start playing something to get your emails downloaded to update Twitter. If it's quick, it does a DNS lookup and gets your stuff on your screen more quickly. Your quid's in.
But surely, I mean, I inadvertently did something really daft the other day. I turned off my Wi-Fi at home on my phone. It was picking up someone else's network, and I just wanted to turn it off, and I wanted to play around, and I completely forgot. And then I started watching, I think I watched Bagel Tech Missy, and I watched a couple of things. And then I got a text from OT saying, you're about to exceed your limit. And I literally listened to maybe 20, well, watched 25 minutes of video.
That's I've got a
gigabyte. I've got a gigabyte. Wow. Okay. So I had 25 minutes, and I had to pay an extra, well, I paid an extra £5 to get me through to the rest of the month.
There's long been an issue actually with services provided to mobile customers. If you've got a phone that doesn't render a mobile web page, you get the full bandwidth video squished, transcoded down to the small size of your screen, and you're throwing data at it. The original iPlayer website would say, sorry, we don't support a 3G network. Now that there is a version of iPlayer for your iPhone, it will optimize the data that goes through the 3G network. So unless the site has been designed for a mobile site, that's what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Well, I'm just going to try and follow around a homeless people with a really long
yeah, that's the best
really
way to do it.
Long LAN cable to somebody's box.
I mean, the thing that gets me about all of this stuff with mobile providers is you sign up for a contract that promises you an up to, and you're sitting right, okay, up to, that's fine. I'm aware, you know, I'm not going to get that everywhere. The cell signal's going to zoom in and zoom out, and I'm going to get some areas are better than others and that kind of stuff. I've been having a bit of a rant with 3 this week. I mean, I've had up to 6.8 out of my MiFi dongle, which is HSPA, and that was fantastic. And I've been working in the same area now pretty much for the last year and a half. And every week it just gets that little bit slower. And this week I've had some absolutely ridiculous figures. I've had 1.2 down and 1.9 up on the network. And I've had as low as 0.23 down and 1 up. You know, the one's been blown me mind. But I've rung them up and I've sent them tweets and that kind of stuff saying, that's an absolute travesty. You get up to 7.2. And they actually got to the point this week of openly admitting, well, you pay for up to 7.2, but typically you shouldn't expect more than between 1 to 4.
Is this all about contention?
I don't know, but they have in a tweet said to me this week that they've got no intention of priding me with 7.2. They can only give me a reasonable expectation of providing 1 to 4 at any given time anywhere. That's
maybe
crap.
That's exactly the word that the advertising has to change to. Mm. Up to 7.2, reasonable. You can reasonably expect between. And maybe they should be forced to put that in their advertising. Because for most people, that'd be fine. People would still buy it, but they'd
and people probably wouldn't,
knowing the truth.
People probably wouldn't even go to speedtest.net to check it unless it was painfully slow.
Yeah, I think probably the kind of thing that Ofcom probably more likely to do is to force them to publish average speeds.
Well, I was going to say, I think Alex has a very good idea here. Publish the mean, the who in the middle, at the middle of that bell curve is the most, you know, what can you most expect to get as your speed, as opposed to averaging the people who live right next door to the tower or next door to the node.
The marketing doesn't work that way, does it?
No, but it should be made to.
Well, I mean, no, here's the thing. You know, Carl comes out the other week and has a beer with me at the hotel. He sets his MiFi dongle down, which is HSPA Plus, and gets 5.6. I'm getting about 4 at that point where I am. And he's paying 75 quid for his dongle plus a bit more, and I'm paying 50 quid for my dongle 3 years ago. And neither of us are particularly different on speed. And I'd be pretty pissed off if I was him. Hang on, you're giving me up to 21, and you're only giving me 5.6. Now, let's talk about the proportions of that. You know, that's a crap level of service. You could promise me LTE. I'd sit there and go, not buying it, because you can promise me the Earth at 42 megabits a second. I don't believe for 1 second I'm going to get anywhere near 10. Mm.
As DT90 in the chat room says, we should pay up to £30 a month for our bill.
I want to pay. I want to pay a percentage of what I actually got. If it's up to 7.2 for 50 quid a month, and I only get half of that, I'll give you 25. We'll call it quits.
I think that's a yes. Take them to tar. Why there? Well, yeah, we should. I think I can feel a campaign coming on.
You can't have it unless you've got a direct debit to your credit account, and that's it.
Mm.
Your checking account, that's, you're stuffed. So they'll take whatever they want regardless.
I mean, I honestly believe, and not just with this, with the old DSL broadband as well, the up to 24s and things like that. When they had 8, which is what ADSL 1 or something, I can't remember what it was called now. When they had up to 8, they pushed everything as hard as they could. And you'd typically get 3/4, you know, that would be what the average person would get, between 5 and 6 on an 8 meg. When they went up to 24, I think they thought, the way it seems to have worked, it's like, well, we're not going to push it to the maximum. We can just, you know, because they might get 12. I know that's only half that we're pushing it, but because they get 12, it's still more than 6, so they should be grateful. I think they literally hold back. Maybe they hold back so that they've got more bandwidth, or, you know, for the whole area is in one. But when I'm sure when it was on 8, when I went from this, in the house I'm in before I went to cable, I had 8 meg when I moved in, and I was getting between 6 and 7. When I went up to 24 meg, the most I ever got was 13. So I wasn't getting the same proportion. So I'm sure when they go higher, they say, well, look, it's up to 24, 12 is enough, because they don't give you the 80% of the full effort. I don't know what the term is, but they're not giving you it all. They're just, oh, sorry. Oh, no, Alex just got stuck in a loop. Right. I just don't believe they do. I really don't believe they give you as much as a proportion as they did on the old one. So it's like what you were saying with Kyle. His plus was giving him less percentage-wise than your non-plus.
Yeah, I mean, I've got this thing in my head. There's kind of 2 or 3 outcomes to this. Number one, I've got the old tech, other people have got the new tech, and the old tech is being deliberately crimped on the network to let the old tech through. I got no proof of that whatsoever. That's completely slanderous or libelous. But the other thing is that the new tech is running at 21 megabits a second, and I'm running at up to 7.2. So in terms of bandwidth, they're sucking it down far faster than I am. As a result, they're occupying more of the tube than I am. Therefore, they're taking far more of it away, and I'm struggling on the download speed because of the fact they're pulling it down faster than I can possibly get it out of mine. Or I'm just getting humped because they just want to, you know, they're screwing everybody, not just me. And I don't know which of those it is, and I don't expect any of you to commit libel by saying which one you think it is. But that's the real problem, is that until there's a clear understanding of what it is I'm paying for and what I'm getting provided with, I'm going to sit and make up those kind of stories in my head. I'm going to sit and believe I'm being persecuted.
I can't imagine it's the last one, Ewan, because that would just be mindless, and there'd be no reason to deliberately hack you off, because there's a risk that you might go away.
But the point being, it's not absolutely relevant which one it is. The point being is, they're selling you something for one thing and it's doing something else. Now, they're legally, they wrote that contract very carefully to start off with to say legally, no, you signed up that it said up to 7.2. Well, you're only getting a half. Well, that's between 0 and 7.2. What are you complaining about? I don't necessarily think it's which one of them they're screwing you with. It's the fact that you're being screwed with in the first place.
It's never going to be. I think, well, it's that whole thing is, is it a conspiracy of silence? When you sign up to it, you know you're getting stiff in some respect, because no one is ever going to be able to give you exactly. Well, I say that Virgin Media, for me, when it works, splendid. I get a lot.
Nearly all of it, yeah.
I think we know where the problem lies, guys. Everything I've heard, it is about the legislation, because the mobile phone companies will only do what they can get away with.
Oh yeah.
If Ofcom were to turn around and say, "No, guys, you must publish," as Eric said, the mean speeds, then they would have to do it. So we would better be educated in terms of being able to make a choice.
Go ahead, Eric.
Mean speeds over here. What I was going to ask is, why do you guys think that you have that problem there? Because my understanding is you guys have very good levels of competition, at least on wireline broadband, whereas we have those problems here because if we don't like our provider, there is no one we can switch to except the one who ran that cable into the house, 50 years ago, or whoever owns it now. So is it a lack of competition for you guys, or what do you think makes it so that you feel trapped by your provider?
I don't think you realize on every level how bad we are treated as customers in this country compared to Americans. Our prices
just in general for any.
Oh, no, I think that's global, dude. I don't think. I mean, the only decent service you get in America is still restaurants.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the idea of complaining in America. I mean, Eric was saying you do get a mean speed, don't you?
Well, no. What I mean is, why don't you? If you mean literally, do we have those kind of speed disclosures? We do not. For some reason, though, I saw a survey that said that very often the up to speeds that are advertised, we get those. That's kind of a weird anomaly, since in every other respect, we're being price gouged and we have no alternative. But in the case of you guys, my understanding was that you had enough competitors for any given broadband wired or wireless service that if you thought you're getting inadequate speeds with one, you just switch to the other. Is that not the case?
Yeah, but what I think you're discussing there is actually like two gas stations on opposite sides of the street being competition, and they're not, because one gas station will reduce their price to £1.44 a litre for fuel, and then the other gas station will go, "Oh, we're £1.45, and everyone's going over there because of the penny difference, so we're going to go to £1.43 maybe. And in the end, what happens is the two gas station owners get together and say, look, stop. Let's just put £1.44 and be done with it. Okay, fine. And they're both £1.44 in the end. And that's where the broadband system is in the UK, is that there's been a vying, there's been a kind of competition for it. But I'm utterly convinced that there's an element of looking at what the others charge and just matching it rather than trying to beat it.
Like a silent price fixing.
Yeah, I don't think there's actually a cartel going on. I don't think there's actually, all the heads of all the places are all sitting down every month and going, "What should we fix the prices at now?" I just think they look around at what's available, and the market has very much equalized in the last sort of 3 years. And I think they just look at that equality and they exist quite happily on it. They don't look to try and... I think every customer in the UK has had every cell phone provider on their books at some point.
That's true.
I've had a phone with Vodafone. I've had a phone with Orange. I've had it with O2. I've had it with Three. I've never had it with Virgin Mobile. That's the only place I've never had a cell phone. Everyone else, I've been around everywhere else, and they're all just as crap as each other.
I was going to say what strikes me about this is you're right in terms of there being a level that everybody sort of sinks to. But the reason for that, I think, is because. And I don't want to be an apologist for them, but I think their business model very much depends on the growth of use of a product against the growth of infrastructure to be able to support the use. And I really do think they're not far behind the limit of what they can actually achieve at the moment, which is why they can't realistically provide you with the speed you would otherwise want. certainly in terms of mobile broadband, because people are using it and they can't. They if they had a green field and could put the infrastructure up, it's like I was stuck on the M1 on the way to work this morning. The M1 was widened 2 years ago and already it's full again. How are you going to be able to get the M1 to be able to fit all the new cars on it? And it'll be just a continual widening and until it slows down for everybody.
No, the problem there is not the widening. The problem there is the bottlenecking of the fact that eventually it goes down to three again.
Mm. Well, maybe so. It's the weakest point of any infrastructure, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like a pipe, and it's the same thing whether it's broadband, whether it's a motorway.
It's just a series of tubes all linked together.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, I think the broadband issue is with mobile broadband, there's no way of throwing more money at it and getting a better service. With, you know, wired broadband, you can pay £100 a month and you can get a really, really fast, secure, strong broadband because you've paid for it. There's no amount of money that you can pay at wireless broadband to give you anything more than anyone else is getting at a lower price. You can't do it. There's nothing there to get. So there's no advantage for any single company to say, okay, well, look, actually, we'll charge you £10 a month for 3 meg, and we can more or less say that'll be average what you get. Because if no one's going to say, well, that one's saying I'm getting 20 meg, and that one's only £12 a month. Well, if I get 3 meg, well, at least the other one gives them the opportunity of getting 20 meg for that £12. No one will go for it because they're lying is the wrong word, but their estimates are all so far out. There's no one's going to put their head above the parapet and say, okay, well, we're going to cut our prices, but you've got to accept that you're going to get crap because unless crap anyway.
Yeah, unless it's legislated.
Points in the chat room. Gordy's saying, all I want with mobile broadband is some coverage. The speed you guys are talking is faster than my home broadband. Oops, sorry. DT in the chat room, this conversation shows exactly why Apple are so keen to avoid talking about technical specs in their new products. Very good. And the broadband service we're getting is just not good enough. Gordy says he tried a GIFCAF card and a MiFi, and the speed was just unusable.
Well, GIFCAF uses he's not having a good night, is he? Doesn't it?
Not at all. And the Tenex says, why can't we have a minimum standard set by Ofcom? So basically, you know, you'd say, like you do with the London transport system, you know, here's zone one, here's zone two, here's zone three. So you'd buy based on you provide a speed one, a speed two, a speed three, a speed four, a speed five, speed six, speed seven. And those were set limits that were set by Ofcom. And if you want to advertise, you say, I advertise that I sell speed three.
And that by the way, as far as wireless goes, I've heard a very good proposal by someone. I want to find the article again. It was like one of the early, it's a little bit old. It was from one of the founders of the internet protocols. And he was talking about wireless spectrum. And he said the idea that you have to provision spectrum for just one company's use or for just one area is antiquated. That's from the old days of radio when it was all, when you did, we couldn't deal with interference the way we do now. We couldn't encrypt the channels the way we do now. That really, the way that we have beachfront property, like 700 megahertz, is beachfront property. That's analog TV because that goes through the densest walls, reaches your basements, reaches your, you know, way inside the buildings. So everyone wants that. And then you have the higher frequency stuff that no one really wants because you can't do as much with. And then you have very few like areas of Wi-Fi where it's completely unregulated and consumers can build anything they want over it. Now on the unregulated side, Wi-Fi, look at the huge innovation that there's been. Because anyone can use Wi-Fi and you don't have to get a license to use it, as opposed to the cellular and every other frequency where you do. So Wi-Fi has been, everyone can get in. So it's up to the technologies themselves to prevent interference and make sure that people's, and maintain a quality of service between homes interference. And so far it's worked great. Even public Wi-Fi works great. Lots of people on the same 2.4 and what is the other, like 5.8 gigahertz spectrum. So the proposal that I read said that we use sort of a carrier frequency to alert the cell tower, and then it's all just roaming, and then we all just trade off to whatever cell tower has an open channel, and the electronic intelligently switch down to the least quality of spectrum that they need. So if they're close to the cell tower with minimal blockage, they can use a high frequency band where there's not much traffic. And if they're deep in a basement, well, then they can get the beachfront 700 megahertz stuff that will penetrate those concrete walls. And then we would use it as sort of a mesh network like the internet is, of a peering arrangement where it's the ultimate peering arrangement. You pay your provider and then they just, everyone just hops networks constantly. But that may never happen just because of the regulation and the incumbent operators involved.
I think there are a few slight physical issues with that. Not least, well, there are two things. One, if ever you've lived in a tower block, you'll know that it's not all plain sailing with Wi-Fi. You get a load of homes all with the different Wi-Fi. Finding your own little channel to be able to exist on is sometimes a real challenge. Two, that works in principle in densely packed areas, places, metropolises like New York, London. If as soon as you get out to the provinces, you really are struggling to get anywhere on high frequencies because it doesn't penetrate. Therefore, you become more reliant on these beachfront, either beachfront or high power transceivers. And the physics of it changes depending on the areas you're doing, and therefore you need to be able to go into really deep design of not least what is there now, but what is predicted to be there in a certain number of years' time to be able to keep up with the developments. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to face a challenge like that because you would have to, the infrastructure then needs to be almost municipal in its design, because otherwise you end up with one mobile phone operator who gets it kind of nearly right, another one who completely cocks it up, and everyone will go to that one, which means they'll get overloaded, and it just turns into a complete physical mess. So in principle, it works, but in actual practice, as soon as you get human beings involved, and it's not completely generated by a community, and everybody stays where they are, I think it's quite tough to actually implement.
Yes, you make a good point, James. You'd have to do so much. It would require turning the phone companies exactly into what they don't want, which is to be dumb pipes. They don't want to become the water company. They want to be the premium services company. They don't want to be a commodity where every one of them is equivalent to the next, and all that mattered is who installed the lines and who can offer a slightly cheaper service. They don't want to be that. So yes, the human element may make that impossible.
Which is a real shame, because actually a municipal web connection is one which would benefit everybody. It would benefit the local council because it's one of those services that could be provided as a sort of, you pay your taxes, this is what you get. But it's totally not, it's a totally non-profit thing. And therefore the small amount of margin that these phone companies make would go away.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you guys are much farther along than this country is as far as, you know, the services, public services, especially with healthcare. I wouldn't be surprised if very in the near future, you guys at least are talking about socialized bandwidth.
Well, we do to a certain extent with the Wi-Fi, don't we? Because if you're a BT customer, you can make part of your home system over to a thing called BT Fon. There's another thing as well, which means that
was
an agreement.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So once you've signed up to allow people to use a small percentage of your bandwidth, which when they log in, they don't use your login details, they use a BT login details, that enables you to go practically anywhere. I've never been anywhere in the country in a built-up area where having a BT Fon account means you need Wi-Fi and need 3G, because there's no place in a city where you're not going to find a BT account.
So, Eric, is there anything like that in the US?
Like what I described? No, nothing close.
Socialized web sharing. I think it's brilliant because the BT Fon thing, if I'm right, Alex, it's almost like a separate Wi-Fi provision.
Yeah,
that's separate. You're not stealing someone else's bandwidth, are you?
No. When you sign in, if you agree to it, a small percentage of your bandwidth is permanently set aside, and it's a very small percentage. It's set aside off of your home network from the Wi-Fi, and you then broadcast a separate signal, which is for the BT Fon or BT whatever it's called. I can't remember.
Why don't Virgin Media do this?
I was going to say, I've got tons extra.
Oh, exactly. If you think about it, it's like peer-to-peer. It's a peer-to-peer Wi-Fi. It's the same way as you... I think the BBC iPlayer still works on peer-to-peer, doesn't it? You don't download it off the
BBC iPlayer app does, Yeah. The flash delivery one, I don't think it does.
Okay, but the point with that is the more people that download a great program from the BBC, the quicker you manage to get it yourself because other people are holding it. And that's the way Wi-Fi should go.
That's like
especially home Wi-Fi.
As Gordy Jackson in the chat room says, fine when you're stationary. But I think being on the move is probably one of the biggest challenges we face. I really use Google Maps when I'm going somewhere. But if I haven't got a cellular connection, I'm utterly screwed. I have to go back to my TomTom.
Chat room has come out with a lot of other comments. Gordy says, I have to remind myself occasionally how much this tech has improved, even though I get frustrated with it now and then. And that's very true. I mean, if I lose my Wi-Fi when I'm away from home, I forgot my dongle the other day and I had to go back to a crappy little Vodafone thing that I had. Drove me mad. And he said, I used to have a PCMCIA Nokia data card plugged into my Nokia 2110, and I thought I was James Bond. I had 33 kilobits a second.
That used to be enough.
That was it. It's enough.
There is a good point that you guys are saying about sharing, or what you say, borrowing. I think a big problem is the provisioning of real estate, which is what we have. We've taken the electromagnetic spectrum and sold it off as land, as real estate. And that's not how it needs to be. Only one thing can occupy real estate at any given time, one building. Not the case with wireless signals that can be that can change by the millisecond. And I think we are going to very quickly get to this conversation as part of the sustainability talks, you know, the long-term view of human evolution that says, well, yeah, we might not be out of spectrum now. Yeah, Verizon's silly to say that. But very soon, if not already, we've run out of the wireless real estate. So no one can get into the market. Consumers are buying and being relegated to one little frequency that, you know, they bought the carrier who has the bad beachfront, or doesn't have the beachfront property. They got the bad ones. And then you got the ones on the beach who aren't there. So there's going to have to be some kind of time sharing, or you're going to have too many people trying to use too little real estate. There's going to have to be a reconceptualization of how the electromagnetic spectrum works. And I don't think right now we're using it the way that is
God intended. I can just imagine everybody collected on the platform of Tottenham Court Road tube station on the Central Line, because that's the only place you can get Wi-Fi from Virgin Media now.
All huddled around a homeless person.
Well, that's it. Homeless people are going to be the most popular people in cities before long, aren't
they? Yeah, and if it gets warm, if it gets cold, we can set my lights.
Hey, buddy,
want
to buy some bandwidth?
Good conversation. Very good conversation. We've managed two stories this evening out of the eight that we planned. Not too bad, eh? This podcast and all the others on the British Tech Network is not possible without the fantastic UK2.net. We're going to have a bit of confusion for a little while because we've got to swap all the offer codes over. But basically, if you put in Bagel Tech as your offer code, you're going to get 15% off, and Bagel DNS will get you the full DNS management charge off from anything that you purchase from them. But go to our website, britishtechnews.com. It'll bounce you through to bageltechnews.com. Don't worry, that'll go in at the end of the month. And click on the link for UK2. Go and see what they've got to offer. Tons of stuff. VPS servers that are just fantastic. I mean, you can sliding scales that you can pick how much you want on it, and it'll adjust the price accordingly for what you need. They've also got dedicated servers that start at only 50 quid a month, and there's phenomenal transfer rates on those. The 250 quid a month service has got 100 terabytes of bandwidth transfer each month, which is an enormous amount, and you probably do really, really well to use that. And they've got great applications like Site Builder, which means you can have a web page up and a presence in under a minute once you've bought your website off them. Please go and have a cruise around, check out what they've got, try the offer codes, make sure you use our click through. They'll know we sent you. You have been supporting them immensely. They're very grateful to you for supporting them, because they keep us on the air, plain and simple. If they disappeared, we'd disappear. They couldn't do it. It just wouldn't happen. Thank you, UK2. Please give them their support. Now then, here we go. It's the cool thingy time. Do you want me to miss you out, Eric, or do you just want to...
Please, skip me right over. I've got
skip
nothing.
Skip right over. You got nothing.
He's got
You're
a hobo
crap.
With him.
You are crap,
I've got
mate.
A hobo Wi-Fi.
You are bloody awful. You've picked everything out of your larder now, and you've picked that sodding phone behind you. There is nothing left for you to pick.
I quite like the soundproofing on the wall. Maybe you can do
No, he's already picked that. That was like about week two, I think. It's pathetic.
Who does your hair?
Mr. Hart, what have you got for us?
It looks like it may be Game Central on the British Tech
Thank
Network.
God, you finished that sentence.
Game Central.
Yes.
I've got a game called Draw Something, which is basically, it's available for iPhone, it's Android as well. It's basically picture and Pictionary crossed with finger painting. Essentially, what you have to do is you have to guess what somebody's drawn. So here's a list. I haven't seen this, so we have to see if we can guess what it is together.
Tap
so
to watch. Make sure that's the right application, eh?
There we go. So they're drawing something.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to work out what. Then there's some letters down the bottom. We've got to work out what it is. Looks like a fridge. Oh. Are they drawing a fridge?
It's a fridge.
We've played this before.
Oh, this is catchphrase. Without an annoying
What's
Irish
Mr.
bloke.
Chip's doing no.
I downloaded catchphrase for the iPhone. Brilliant game, but you've got to spell the whole
Say what you see.
Say what you see. In fact, this is actually a drawing I did earlier of Popsicle, which is an Americanism, but we'll forgive them for that. Let's see if they got it. Yes, they guessed it. Can you see? Correct, Popsicle. And then they draw one for me, and we all get points, and we all have a great
why
time.
Why didn't they just draw the Popsicle to start with?
Well, because it's half the fun. You've got to draw a fridge because it's cold.
Devious git.
Yes.
You draw curtains.
It's a great way to express yourself using your fingers. I could have phrased that better. Draw something.
Cyberpool in the chat room.
omgpop.com/drawsomething. Great fun. Look me up. I'm scissorg_UK. It's free, or 69p for the non-advert version.
Paul in the chat room suggested that was Midnight Snack, which was very good, actually. And Bagel Tech Missy is Missy in the chat room is saying that James's recommendation of Temple Run a few weeks back has taken away an entire week of her life.
Sorry.
It's going to be another one. Bad luck. Alex, you knew you were coming on about 10 minutes before we started, so have you got anything for us or not?
I have, right. Now, this is the first time in the world, right? Not only have I got
An exclusive, no.
Well, not so much, but I got something. I've used it and paid for it all in one day, and I thought it was so cool. I was really hoping I could get on a show, because we don't do it on the photo show. I was thinking, I've got to get on a show this week, because I really like this, and I've got to tell somebody. So this is my moment, right?
Do it.
Of course, it's a photographic application. Right, and you've probably all heard about it. I'm the last one. All right, let's just check what it's called so I don't get it wrong. It's called Snap Heal, SnapHeal. Now, for all the photographers in the room, especially Missy, she'll know what the healing brush is. And it's a brush you use to take objects out of a picture without having to clone around it too carefully. You can paint over something, and in Photoshop, a very, very expensive piece of software, it will then have its best guess at removing it. I can't remember what it's called. What's it called, that deleting tool on Photoshop?
Content Aware Delete.
Okay, so you've got Content Aware Delete, and that costs you, what's it, about £750?
If, exactly.
If you're lucky, or if you pay for it. Right, so now you've got this Snap Heal by, it's called Mac Fun, PHUNLLC, and it's £10.49 in the Mac App Store, and it's brilliant. For a lot of the things I played with it, it is as good as Content Aware Deletion on Photoshop.
Right.
And I wouldn't
Praise
say
indeed,
that.
Because that's and not I bad.
I was playing with it today, and I think, it won't do that. And I had some letters over some grass. It was on the Sean the Sheep picture I took, and I had letters over the grass and a bit on Sean's ear, and Sean had a piece of grass in his mouth, and I just painted over the letters. I painted over the thing in his mouth, and within a quarter of the time it takes Photoshop to do it, it was gone, and there was none of the little edges that Photoshop left. I was absolutely amazed with this thing, and so I thought, I've got to tell everybody. It does other things. It does cloning. It does lots of other things, but this absolutely blew me away. And for £10.49, you can't get this on anything other than Photoshop. So I would suggest anyone that's in any way interested in touching up their photos in a non-rude way, I would get Snap Heal from Mac Fun with a PH at £10.49.
ITNX in the chat room has asked, tell them about the three modes for selecting.
Oh, don't start all that. Yes, there is. There's the Snap Fun mode, There was a twirl mode, I think, and there was another one which I just can't remember off the top.
Very good. Really, Missy also says, what about The Joy of Rubber Stamping, which is not a sexual aids book that, that teaches you how to stamp in fun ways?
Lordy.
Oh, it's in the chat room. No, it's not. It will be in the chat room in a minute.
Moving on swiftly. Sarah, what have you got for us, girl?
Mine is nowhere near as exciting as Alex's, but it's a Windows-based text editor, which a colleague at work told me about a little while ago, and I've found myself actually only using this. I've actually ditched all the other text editors I'm using, apart from on Ubuntu, because it doesn't actually run on Ubuntu. It's only mainly Windows. It's called Notepad++, based on the idea of the Windows Notepad, but it does an awful lot more. And when I say it does a lot more, I mean it really does a lot more. So much so that it actually allows you to you can build and actually add into plugins actually into the text editor application to do all sorts of things. And they included one of the things that's actually built into it is an FTP application. So if you're using it for updating, say, a PHP file or an ASP file on a website, you can actually edit it and then FTP up all within the same application. So you don't actually need to open like FileZilla or whatever else you use to actually upload applications, upload applications to a website.
Very good.
And it's free.
Oh, well, that's even better.
Superb. And I particularly like the language thing in it. It's got a ton of languages. I mean, I'm talking programming languages here that it recognizes. And you just have to say which, if it doesn't recognize it, you just go down the list and there's a huge list. You just say, no, this file is that. And it goes away and it auto colors all the tags and everything for you, which makes it a lot easier for editing documents.
Brilliant.
It's brilliant.
10X in the chat room saying, good grief, Snaphill's now £11. I got it for free last month.
I said it was boring, didn't I?
I like Notepad++. Gets my seal of, I guess, my rubber totally stamp
good.
Of approval.
Totally no, good thank pick. I wasn't trying to take away from your, Sarah. It was just the fact that Alex had paid 11 quid up the wall. That was all that was trying to dump in with. Eric, should we go through the rigmarole of the usual week of, of your non-selection or no?
Eric,
no, I there we go. We're done.
Eric,
we're done. Yeah.
Why don't you say that this week the Amazon Android App Store has got special offers on to celebrate a year of operation? But if you're in the UK, it's absolutely bugger all use to you. That's your pick.
We'll dub it. We'll just move your mouth, Eric, and we'll dub it in. Don't worry. We'll process James's voice so it sounds like you. My pick this week is thanks very much to Carl Madden. Carl does all the bookings for all the shows, as well as hosting the photo show. And he sets up at the moment the Google Docs with some stories in them for the shows. And I've got a bit lazy and not bothered doing it now because he's doing it.
And I've read Missy's chat room. Hope you and pick soup again.
Don't you knock my soup. My soup was awesome. Mulligatawny. Oh, man, the Mulligatawny in that range is
incredible. I thought it was going to be the wine this time.
No. But Carl is the man. He's absolutely right. Carl is the man who does everything for this network as far as the back admin's concerned, and he does it brilliantly. We would have gone under a long time ago. But one of the things he did was a few weeks ago, we were talking about getting an iPad, and I was saying, oh, you know, if there was a decent 3G card in the new iPad coming out, I'd get myself an iPad mount for the car. And I said it jokingly because I've never seen one that I thought looked like it was stable enough. He said, no, I've got an iPad mount for the car and it's absolutely brilliant. Fits iPad to a treat. There it is. £15. And it's the first pick I've had in a long time that's not transparent when I hold it up against the wall. and it's huge. It's enormous, but it clips in dead easy and it only holds an iPad 2. I've tried to put my iPad 1 in. It's very stable.
I got that for nothing last week.
To be fair, I turned it upside down there. That's why it fell to pieces. But you can spot it around. It's got a whole load of movements in it. It's great. I fitted it on the screen tonight and tried to put my iPad in it just to see if it would take the weight. And in the end, I had to gaffer tape my iPad to it because it wouldn't fit in. But I got me 3 coming tomorrow because it's iPad day tomorrow. And I'm hoping that the slight change in size on the iPad 3 means that it's not going, the iPad Mavis, that it's not going to mean that it won't fit in. I hope it does fit in, because if it doesn't, it's going back to Amazon. But it's 15 quid.
That's one story we haven't covered, isn't it?
It's fallen apart.
The worries about delivery of the iPad. Is anybody concerned?
I'm not concerned. What bothers me about that is the fact that they must have wasted an absolute fortune of time at call centres with people ringing, hello, is my iPad coming on Friday? Yeah, it's coming on Friday, don't worry.
So if it doesn't come tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Not be surprised. I didn't order it until the Thursday morning, but then neither did the rest of Europe, because there was absolutely nothing going on. I've woken up at 5:30 and ordered it. So it may or may not come. We never know.
In time for the
tomorrow, match. Though, at Mac, we will be opening. I'm not going to, if it comes in the morning, I'm going to sit here and wait until the Mac show to open it, I promise.
Oh, we're going to have a live unboxing.
Yep, and if I can't, then I'll tweet out that I'm going to unbox it in 5 minutes, and you better come now, otherwise. That's it.
If you get it Saturday, then it'll be a day younger, so that'll be nice.
Yeah.
I've got to put the bill into. What I've got to do is find out where the wife puts the accounts, and I've got to enter it into the spreadsheet, and then put the bill inside the accounts in the wrong month, so she doesn't find it past month.
Put it in last
I'll
month.
I'll tell her.
I tell you, this is the answer, Ewan. You tell her that you're keeping the iPad 1 because it's the first ever pad to come out. That was the first ever tablet, right?
Oh, you can't replace that. Absolutely. It's iconic.
Yeah, you're keeping it for ages because of in years to come, it's going to be worth... It's your pension. It's retirement. That's how much that's going to be worth.
Mm. So it's like those Mac Minis is going to keep going up in price.
It's a 401k.
At least...
So the few hundred pounds you spend now is just irrelevant. Mm.
Ewan, at least with yours, you were able to keep your orders and let it be shipped, unlike a certain other person who had to cancel his within a couple of hours of placing the order.
No,
indeed.
No,
I wasn't going to name any names.
I haven't told her.
That's why I wasn't naming any
I'm
names.
Not I'm joking. I've told her. I said, I'm having no
so
one.
When
back.
You coming
and
down to stay, Ewan? And how long for?
Yeah, about 12 years.
Will she send a new key, yeah.
No worries. We're going to be back again tomorrow. We've got the Bagel Tech. No, we haven't got Bagel Tech. We've got British Tech News in the morning. And then we've got the photo show at 2 o'clock. And then we've got the Mac show again at 3:30.
British
Andy
Friday.
And?
British Friday, aye.
And
weekend starts there. And?
Sunday.
Yeah, no, we've got Andy and Atko on the Mac show tomorrow as well, so there'll be a fair few people in the chat room, and we'll deal with that. And then on Sunday, it's the first Grand Prix of the season, so we'll be covering that one. We're going to do the F1 show, it'll be returning, and we're going to record that on Monday night. Everyone happy with Monday night?
What are you going to call that then?
I thought you wanted to do it Sunday.
No, I'm in Leeds on Monday, so I'll be home on Monday night now.
Okay.
So we can do it. And you hated
British
Sunday.
British F1? Nah, it's got to be better than that.
No, it's just the F1 show. I've had a chat with a couple of people about what's called the network. And what we're going to do is basically this is going to be the big show from the British Tech Network. And everything's going to be about British Tech Network. And Kyle made a good suggestion of the start bit, bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by it, and that's it. So we're not going to start calling ourselves British Tech News and that kind of thing. I'm a bit bothered as well about cutting across... Will Green, British Tech Mac is a bit close to British Mac, so it's just going to be the Mac show from the British Tech Network.
The Missy Show.
The Mac Debug.
The Missy Show from Missy. And Carl and Missy have got a new show coming out in the next couple of weeks. I've recorded my lines this evening and posted them to Carl. That will be out in the next couple of weeks. It is. It's a very good show. I've had a listen to the first one, and it was up to snuff by a long way.
I'll tell you what, Missy's going to have to up her game because that car was good.
No. Good. Missy carries it.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great time. Weekend starts here.